From NPR News, this is special live coverage of the launch of the Space Shuttle Discovery. I'm Steve Inskeep. The shuttle is set to blast off from Florida's Kennedy Space Center at 10:39 Eastern Time this morning. That's a little bit less than 4 minutes from now. And this would be the first shuttle launch since the Columbia disaster 2.5 years ago. Now, an earlier attempt to launch Discovery was scrubbed 2 weeks ago because of a faulty fuel gauge. But the shuttle is back in place. We're looking at televised images of it now. And NPR's David Kestenbaum is watching this live at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Good morning, David.
Morning, Steve.
Can you describe your vantage point and tell us what you see?
We're sitting in the full sun. It's rather hot. We're about 3 miles or so away from the space shuttle. You can see the red tank, the main fuel tank, which holds the liquid hydrogen, the liquid oxygen. And then strapped to that is the space shuttle. The vast bulk of the weight is the fuel to carry that space shuttle up into orbit.
And we're already watching on the television here what looks like steam or smoke coming out of the bottom of this, coming out of the engines. What's happening?
David, you want to do this?
Let me introduce someone here. This is David Wolf. He's a NASA astronaut, and he's joining us for this broadcast. Mr. Wolf, what is happening?
Well, you can see on the TV now the gaseous oxygen vent hood is being retracted. It removes some of those vapors you just mentioned. Those are the vapors of pure liquid oxygen and liquid hydrogen venting off.
Now, David Wolf, we're just about 2 minutes away from launch now. You're an astronaut. I'm sure you know well the seven crew members on board. And you've been in this moment yourself. What is this moment like as you wait for liftoff?
That's right. We're 45 seconds from launch. They're looking at all the instruments very carefully along with the launch control system team and the mission control team. They're about ready to get into free flight. 7 million pounds of thrust. In about 3 seconds, we'll hand it over to the onboard computers for full autonomous control of the launch sequence by the space shuttle.
And when you say just looking, there's really nothing they can do at this point. They have to wait.
We can do a hold. That can be initiated from many points, but the normal process is computer controlled at this point.
Okay, and you mentioned that you're about 45 seconds from launch. That was a few
seconds
ago.
We're less than that. We're getting very close now, 10 seconds.
It looks like a minute, actually. There's a one.
Oh, there's a one over there. I'm sorry. I can't see it from this angle.
We've got a little bit more than a minute left.
A little more than a minute now. A little less than a minute now.
Hopefully NASA's got a better handle on this than we do, but we will stay right here, and we'll continue waiting. Now, I'd like to know what happens emotionally in those last few seconds, David Wolf.
It's pretty intense. You really have to keep your mind on the job, what you're doing, fall back on your training. Endless training hours have been spent so that you don't let the emotions overcome you. And it's actually a little scarier to watch than to be in.
Scarier to watch than to be there? Because you have nothing you can do?
In a sense, it is. Well, that might be the case. That's an issue for analysis, isn't it?
Okay, so we must be, less than 30 seconds to go, David Kestenbaum?
I thought these guys had, cold water in their veins. I don't want to hear that you're nervous, David Wolf.
No, we're not. When we're in the vehicle.
I should mention that he's sitting here in a blue flight suit looking very professional.
All right, let's go. Let's go to the NASA feed, the official NASA announcer. We're under 20 seconds to go here. The engines are firing, and let's listen.
5, 3 engines up and burning. 3, 2, 1, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Discovery, beginning America's new journey to the Moon, Mars, and beyond. And the vehicle has cleared the tower.
Oh, what a beautiful launch. We're watching Shuttle Discovery on television monitors here in Washington, taking off from the Kennedy Space Center. A tower of flame and smoke, shooting straight ahead. It's going to take several minutes for it to get into orbit. The shuttle and tanks at launch weigh 4.5 million pounds, we're told. More than 90% of that is fuel, and much of that, of course, will be burned off in the next few minutes. This is to be a 12-day mission. We have 7 astronauts on board. The commander is Eileen Collins. It is her second time as a commander. We're continuing to watch the shuttle go off, turning from our vantage point upside down. The shuttle actually on the underside of the solid of the liquid fuel tank. The solid fuel boosters on either side also firing.
Speeding out 900 miles per hour.
Let's listen to more of the NASA feed here.
Go at throttle up.
Discovery is go with throttle.
All systems remain go for Discovery. Altitude now 9 miles, 6 miles northeast of the launch pad.
And this is a tense moment, of course. This is a time when there's extreme pressure, extreme stress, both on the crew and on the craft. In fact, a number of seconds, about 20 seconds in. 1.5 minutes
since Launch Discovery has already consumed more than 2.25 million pounds of propellant. It weighs less than half of what it did at liftoff. Speed now 2,000 miles per hour. Altitude 18 miles, 14 miles northeast of the Kennedy Space Center.
There's an astonishing fact. 26 seconds in, they actually throttled back the engines. They got a little bit less force in order to reduce the amount of stress on the vehicle as well as on the crew. We're told it feels something like 3 G's at the maximum point, 3 times the force of gravity. And let's go back to David Wolf at NASA. David, have you had a chance to clear your ears after that enormous roar?
Yeah, it's pretty loud here at the space site. We see that we've just separated the solid boosters. The ride gets a lot smoother at that point. Still burning 1,000 gallons per second of liquid propellants from the external fuel tank.
3 G's, what does that feel like?
3 G's is pretty heavy, 3 times your body weight. We achieve that in the last 2 minutes as we get light, and the vehicle accelerates faster. It wears you down. It's not as much as you pull momentarily in a fighter jet, but it's all in a straight line, and it goes for many minutes, so it'll wear you down.
Can you see anything?
We can see the vehicle. We can see the plume from the main engine still in the distance. We have a good picture on television.
What about from the astronauts' point of view, because you've been there? Can the astronauts see anything at this point?
Oh, yeah, they can look out the windows and see the Earth falling away at a rapid rate. It's a spectacular view. The sky gets dark, and you just move away from the Earth as you pick up speed, achieving 5 miles per second.
We're talking to David Wolf. He's a NASA astronaut, and he is at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. He's watching the launch of the shuttle Discovery. And we're also joined by David Kestenbaum, NPR's David Kestenbaum. And David, so far, what are the signs about the success
this
launch?
One of the amazing things is just the light that the engine puts out. It's like trying to look at an arc welder or something. I had to put my hand up. And right now, there's this column. It's as if there's a cloud that has come down to touch the Earth, because the path, as the shuttle took off, it leaves a cloud behind it. And that is still there, and it's drifting sort of off to one side. But it's like, a beanstalk going straight up. And we could see the space shuttle as it went into a cloud. It looked like it went into a cloud and then out the other side, and then we could see it for a good long ways.
Gentlemen, we're still in what's described as a critical phase here. What is critical about these next few minutes?
That's right. This is a critical time. At about 3.5 minutes, or 3:50, as you just heard, we are negative return. In other words, the orbiter cannot return back to the launch site.
We've passed the point of no return, is the way to put that, perhaps.
That's right. The only return now is all the way around the Earth or on across the ocean into Europe.
So at this point, the booster rockets have fallen off, and they're going into the ocean, and they will be collected. Do I have that right, David Wolf?
Well, we're not using the solid boosters now. They function normally. Their purpose is complete. We're on the main engines, 3 of them. But should we lose individual main engines, we lose performance and have to do such fallback modes as aborting to orbit or aborting transatlantic. If we should lose all 3 or so, then if you do a contingency abort using your parachute system into the ocean.
And let's just talk about those possibilities, which we hope will not come up at all. Aborting to orbit would mean acknowledging you're not going to get the orbit you intended, but you'll go into a lower orbit. And describe aborting transatlantic, what that means.
That's right. The abort to orbit is a low orbit, stable orbit. It's our preferred abort. We try to abort as high as we can, but if for some reason, for example, a big leak in the spacecraft would occur,
You're listening to the NASA announcer and passing on the word there. Let's listen here also on the radio. Let's bring up the NASA feed for a few seconds and listen to what they're saying.
Well, at full throttle. Speed now 8,000 miles per hour. Altitude 67 miles, 300 miles northeast of the Kennedy Space Center.
Discovery Houston, single engine ops 3.
Discovery is single engine ops 3.
Discovery can perform a transatlantic landing on only one engine if required. All continuing to go well. Altitude 67 miles, 350 miles northeast of the Kennedy Space Center. Discovery speed now 9,200 miles per hour. Discovery's rolling to a heads-up position now to assist its performance as it finishes its ascent to orbit.
David Wolf, as we listen to the transmissions there, one of the voices there, the shuttle commander?
Yes, we've heard Eileen.
Eileen Collins.
Now.
You're continuing to listen. Let's listen some more.
We have about 2 minutes
left. That's
right.
That's the reply of Commander Eileen Collins. And they're calling various abort boundaries that we were discussing. What is the preferred abort? As we gain energy and we gain speed, we need less and less capability in front of us.
Now, when they're discussing the preferred abort, it's not that there's a problem. They're just being ready if there's a problem. Is that your understanding?
That's right. These are all normal. These are all normal calls.
Good copy. About a minute and a half to cut off of the main engines. Those calls confirming that the crew is go to do a plus X maneuver after jettison of the external tank to clear.
Discovery Houston, single engine press 104.
Single engine press 104.
David Wolf, if you can translate some of the jargon for us, what's happening now?
That's right. We now have an ability to make it all the way to a normal orbit on one engine.
So this window of potential severe problem is narrowing. We're getting close to the point
where... It is narrowing. Two engines could be lost at this point and still achieve a normal orbit. The Gs are building up to the full 3 Gs at this point. For the rest of the ascent, we'll throttle back to hold 3 Gs as we get lighter and lighter.
And we'll wait
here. Remarkably short trips in some moment.
You'll notice how quick speed is gained at this point, 14,000 miles an hour now, and we'll very quickly achieve the 17,600 required for the normal orbit.
Let's bring up NASA Mission Control one more time. We're nearing this cutoff point when things should be okay.
Discovery speed now 16,000 miles per hour. Standing by for cutoff. Discovery's three main engines.
They're about to cut off the engines. David Kestenbaum, what's happening now?
Well, in about 10 seconds or so, the main engines will actually disconnect, and the main fuel tank. And then what's one of the astronauts' jobs, actually, to take pictures of that as it falls away. This is part of their effort to really image, take pictures of everything from the launch pad all the way going up into orbit. There are now some 100 cameras that watched every stage and many more media cameras, I would point out here on
and
the
we're
ground.
Watching it. We're
These
watching
are spectacular images.
We're watching this image from space now. The shuttle is separating from the main fuel tank. It's on its own. It's
just
free.
Fabulous imagery. Only astronauts have seen this in the past. Now we have special imaging cameras to make sure we don't lose any of this foam off that tank.
Well, David Wolf, thank you very much for helping us to illustrate and understand what's been happening with the launch of the shuttle Discovery this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your interest. We're on our way for a long journey into the solar system, and we're back on the road with the shuttle. We've had the International Space Station with a human presence continuously for the last 6.5 years. Okay. So continue to be inspired by your space program.
Okay, and we were also joined by NPR's David Kestenbaum. Again, the shuttle Discovery is away. We'll bring you more news as we learn it, and you can read what the shuttle astronauts will be doing every day in space at our website, npr.org. You'll find complete coverage of the mission there as well. You're listening to special coverage from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.